And a warm welcome back to the Esports Central podcast. This is episode number 76, brought to you by Lipton Iced Tea, Joko, Five Roses, Vanilla Spicy Chai, Herbal Tea, Chinese Tea, and the whole shebang prophecy.
So we're basically saying that this podcast is sponsored by Ceylon.
Yeah, basically. Basically, you know,
do we expect a lot of tea bags incoming in the next couple of days?
You know what the thing that surprised me the most about the whole teabag situation prophecy?
What's that?
As a Dota 2 gamer, I was like, what the hell is that?
I mean, that is fair. You can't teabag in your game, but you can do the enter question mark when somebody does something stupid.
Yeah, I was like, and then when I heard what the teabagging was, then I was like, oh, you mean people's feelings get hurt over that? Try going 0-5 mid and have your support ping you the whole game. That's goddamn harassment right there.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all dealt with harassment in games. I wouldn't say it's good by any means, but it certainly isn't as terrible as it's made to seem in that post.
Yeah. So I've got to give credits to our man, Grant Hard. He actually put ZA Esports into the mainstream. I mean, everybody tweeted him. You had the Thorins, the Monte Cristos, the Sir Scoots. It went goddamn viral, man. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, I mean, the problem is that it got massively boosted, and unfortunately, when that gets boosted like that, everybody's going to see it. Especially because esports, despite what we like to believe, is a relatively small section of the world. It is going to get signal boosted to the point where the big wigs in the area will see it. And I mean, the problem is that they've already had this drama before in 2018, where there was complaints about teabagging in game. It was a whole bunch of drama this time, so why the need was felt to raise it again and call out this isn't professional when you have soccer players attacking referees verbally because the referee didn't give them the penalty they wanted or something like that, or you get NFL players illegally hitting players with helmets and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, they get banned or they get fined, though those games still have a veneer of professionalism, we're told. And yet you see multiple players acting like five-year-olds on a field. So, I mean, I fail to see how pressing the control button multiple times is somehow a heinous act. But then again, I don't think like that, so.
I mean, for me, I couldn't actually give a shit about the topic. I thought it was a hilarious tweet.
I posted it's... once just to point out the silliness of it, and then I just left it, and then it... The next time I checked, it was obscenely large.
Yeah, so I had some time to reflect on this because I honestly don't think it's a serious thing, of course. I feel like my favorite take from the whole situation, I never can't believe I'm actually saying this, was from our man Sargon. He's like, yes, teabagging, the biggest issue in a game where people are supposed to shoot each other and murder each other, you know?
I mean, that was what everybody pointed out. Oh, teabagging is the issue. But it's like, you do realize that there's a character in this game that can fly into the air and shoot rockets at people. Are we pretending that this game has any resemblance to reality?
Thorin's copypasta was, I cannot support the Overwatch League. Too many monkeys get murdered. You never see that in any other esports. Oh man. But I did start feeling for Grant Tides, because I think I was also one of those people. Every time I saw a copy pasta, I thought it was a big funny meme. I was liking it, retweeting it, and that. But then after a certain point, I was like, okay, when you go back and look at the thread before, it was a lot of the local gamers and stuff were engaging, saying this. I didn't see any personal attacks on Grant Tides or anything like that initially, even though some people found it hilarious, were memeing it pretty hard. Which also, I think, could be a fine line there as well. But then after it went completely viral, there were some people going out of on a limb saying, oh, this guy's not even a real gamer, attacking the guy personally and stuff. And it's
that was a bit too far.
It's just fucking ridiculous. This mob mentality, the guy, okay, in my opinion, had a terribly bad take, but it wasn't a harmful take or anything. It was a stupid take, maybe, but that's it. That gives you no right to go and fucking Twitter mob the Oak. That was just that's never cool, man.
It's unfortunate. The problem of Twitter is that it is going to result in by far the most aggressive takes, or the most aggressive responses are going to be usually the ones that people tend to flock towards. And unfortunately, that is what happened here. So I mean, look, I don't support how a lot of people reacted. I do think that the take was horribly misguided. And the fact that he felt the need to double down on it made him look a lot stupider than he probably thought. But
There's been a lot of people who like these posts as well. I mean, his personal post got like 500 likes, like 200 retweets. Obviously, I don't know, the quotes don't get counted in those retweets because then there'd be much more retweets just for the memes. But there were people out there like agreeing with the post to a certain extent.
The problem is, it's just like an odd thing to whine about, as I said. Like, the people that are like that agree with that, like, sure, you, I mean, by all means, agree with it. You can hold that opinion as you wish. It's no, you know, no skin off anybody else's back for you to hold that opinion. It's just like, there are actual legitimate issues. Why are you complaining about that?
Yeah, 100%. And this is where, like, again, I will state this many times. Okay, again, I feel kind of bad for liking and retweeting so many things because it does seem like I'm on the bandwagon of hate, but I have nothing really against Grant Hines or even his take, really, because I honestly don't give a fuck about T-Bag. I play Dota 2, man. We got question marks in there. That's way better banter. But the point is, like, I did actually have a problem with two things that Grant said. Like, okay, he's fighting his cause in his way for this teabagging issue, which is apparently an issue. But there was two instances where I just don't think it's okay what Grant did. One, where he compares this teabagging thing to racism. I'm just going to read the tweet because I don't want to say something that he didn't say. He's like, I've made the case why it's professional full stop. I never accept culture as a reason for certain behaviors. It's my culture and extended family to vent racism at a braai, something I inherently and objectively disagree with. Now, okay, you're not lumping the two together, but I don't think it's okay you cannot compare racism to virtual banter, right? That's not cool. And the second one was, again, he brings up something else. He's like, honestly, not offended, just confused by the response. I'm a very client-facing and can guarantee that sponsors don't want you to avoid esports because of it. Simulated sexual assault as simple banter is not a good look for investors. Okay, so humble brag about being client-facing or whatever. But again, this is real-world issues, Grant Hines. This is systematic issues. People deal with these problems day in, day out. Even within the gaming industry, you think about the Riot Games, endemic sexism stories there with multiple employees getting sexually assaulted, the people getting dismissed for jobs because of sexism. I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, gaming and racism in gaming in South Africa is a big topic as well. But now you want to lump this shit in with teabagging. Now, of course, Grant Hines takes this seriously, but listen, you need to check your privilege before you go and compare sexual assault and racism to teabagging. That's all.
It's such an extreme outlier. Just be reasonable about this. Like, it annoys you. You don't like it. But that does not make anything, that doesn't make it as horrendous an act as sexual assault. So, like, please just don't even equate it to that. So if something minor is that level of problem, how do you go, you know, it's like, if that's sexual assault, what happens when somebody does something actually heinous? Like, yeah, how do you get, like, worse anymore?
And
if everything is extreme, then nothing is extreme, and that's the exact problem. Like, teabagging is annoying. You can maybe, like, fine a player $100 for just, like, okay, just give it a rest. But, like, other than that, just let it go.
I mean, I think that the thing is with Grant Hines here in this case. I think Grant Hines is one of those guys who tries to fight the good fight. I don't wanna say he's not one of those guys. So that's why, for me, it's even sadder to see him going and equating these things like that. I mean, again, I'll stand by my point. I think if you're equating video game banter, maybe for him it's more than banter, to real-world issues like sexual assault and racism, you're shortchanging these issues, yeah. And you need to check your own privilege. That's what I'm saying. On that bombshell, we end our banter part of the podcast. It was a bit serious this time. We didn't talk about the NBA. We didn't talk about Liverpool. We didn't talk about any of our go-tos, prophecy.
I mean, what is there to talk about Liverpool other than that we won?
Oh, yeah. Jesus. I mean, we're going to be hearing about Liverpool winning this league for the next 20 years.
Well, I mean, we're going to hear about Arsenal's Invincibles for the next, like, 50, so, you know.
Well, you guys are going to break the record, aren't you?
Don't say that. It's always some silly clown to, like, oh, it's definitely in the bag. And it's like, and then we go on one of the most apocalyptic losing sprees of all time. So, no. 7 games left. And we have to win all of them, and then we can't be overtaken. So until that point, no further.
No counting chickens. I mean, it was a good 12 points last season. Let's not talk about that. But let's talk about esports things. So this topic is another, I'm going to call it a food fruitful topic. Okay, so there's a company out there in South African esports called Ace Gaming. They host tournaments that kind of go like, let me just read one of the Twitter posts. Okay, Ace Gaming Org, that's the ad on Twitter. It's time for an online duo custom challenge. 16k prize pool, enter year form, some emojis, best of luck to all, right? So 16k prize pool, looks great, looks grand, looks fantastic, but this is not how I heard of this tournament organizer. How I heard of this tournament organizer, like 101 other people who liked this post, was through a post from a ZA Fortnite player named Storm Testeros. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly, but you know what, fuck it, IDC, right?
Yeah.
So he posts a conversation, and I'm just going to read the whole tweet here. This is how Ace Gaming, the guy's name Andrea, tweeted at Riot ZA when all Riot did was ask for compensation. This was a school tournament that happened. Oh, this was a tournament, the solo tournament that happened just after the school cup. My bad. Okay. So here's the WhatsApp conversation. It's horrible to do this on a podcast, but what can you do? I'm going to do my best to read out the story. So Riot sends a message, and then he says, okay, that's not how you work out an average. Fine, forget it. Then Andrea responds, the tournament, the guy who runs Ace, mate, can I be honest? Riot says, go for it. Andrea's next response, drop your fucking attitude. The next post is Riot trying to break down how you work out the averages. And then this guy says, once again, you won't say half of the stuff to us tournament organizers in our face, but you always moan. And this guy, Riot, responds, once again, I'm just asking for my compensation, but all good. And then this is my favorite part in this whole debacle. Andrea responds once again, focus on being better, bitch less, you have a penis between your legs. So at this point, I think people screenshotted this. This went all up in the thing. And I was like, wow, that's quite a way to conduct yourself, especially as a tournament organizer, and this stuff getting leaked. Obviously is a terrible, terrible thing if you are a business owner. Am I correct in saying that prophecy?
I mean, I don't know if I'd react like that to somebody asking me for money. I guess it would depend on how often they want the money. And the problem is that it was also like a curated view of how that conversation went. I don't know if that's the start of the conversation.
Because there is
clearly like a voice note in there, and then he starts questioning. So was it a little bit nastier before that? Like it's difficult to say with just this evidence.
Yeah, so there's no context here really from this picture alone, but we do see the post go up. So then the Twitter thread did go up. Andrea did claim he's happy to answer and explain everything. There was a couple of questions asked, but when I saw this, I was quite intrigued. I was like, okay, this is pretty wild. So I spoke to a couple of people involved in the Fortnite scene, just getting the lay of the land about some things, and then Telus and the crew, Dalray, host the Fortcast ZA podcast, and they interviewed Andrea. They had Alex on from EPS or whatever that his company's called, and they had a conversation with this guy. So there were a couple of points in there that the community is frustrated with about Ace Gaming beyond just rudeness, should I say. And I think a lot of it got addressed in the podcast to some extent, right? So one of the things right from the get-go was this rudeness thing. So obviously I saw this exchange, but obviously, like you said, no context exchange. So the podcast starts, and within 5 minutes, I have Andrea, I'm listening to Andrea, the Ace Gaming guy, telling Trash Panda, who obviously, there's a conversation with him on Twitter as well, which we'll get to later on. Him basically telling this guy, who's a 14-year-old kid, by the way, that he needs to watch himself. That his word for word is, you got to watch yourself. Be careful what you say, because when you say this stuff online, you know, who knows what will happen. And he says, no, I'm not threatening you, but I'm just saying. So I'm listening to that. And I was like, okay, so you got in trouble for being rude and this thing's going viral and you're told your company could be at stake here and like your good name down to the ground. And this is how you're responding in the first 5 minutes. So that alone, I was a bit shook by, Prof.
Yeah, it's just like you're on a podcast and you're saying like, I'm not saying I'm going to beat you up, but like, you got to be careful. Like, even if you're not implying anything, the fact that you're like, oh, I'm not trying to, like, no, let's be real. You wouldn't pick those words if you weren't trying to imply something. Now, I'm not saying that you'd act out on those, but you got to pick your words very, very carefully when you're dealing with a situation like that. And especially like, something's clearly, like, I don't know why you react so vociferously, because like something must have happened to either trigger him or to trigger off this kind of reaction, or like he's either just like, it's either that or he's just got like a very, very aggressive personality. It's just odd. Why would you react like that? Why would you like even vaguely imply threatening a kid.
So it seems like he hinted at in the podcast that he gets, well, he didn't hint, he clearly stated that he gets so many of these messages and he's under stress and he has to deal with this kind of stuff all the time. And then, you know, he said he just snapped or whatever. So there was another conversation. If you go over to @TrashPandaZA, one of the other Fortnite players, and he was actually also on this Fortcast podcast. And there's a conversation between Andrea and this kid as well. Who, again, was like, okay, I don't know how actually age. He looks like he's 14. I'm not, like, trying to say it to banter or whatever, but just to show looks, you how...
Well, I mean, he says, according to his Twitter profile, he's 15. So, okay, 15. Underage. He's under the age of 18.
Right. Yeah. So, I'm saying this. Okay, I'm just going to explain myself. Yeah, it's just, I'm saying this because I think, obviously, if me and Prof be rude to each other, it's like, okay, I'm being rude to, like, a peer, right? But I think when you're a 25-year-old engineering student speaking to a 15-year-old kid, I don't know if we can get away. So there was a conversation going. Obviously, it's an audio podcast. I can't show you guys the conversation. But basically, the gist of it was that Trash Panda is saying, yo, where's my money? This is a day after the tournament, so we can address this in a bit, Prof, as well.
Yeah.
A day after the tournament, he sent about 2 or 3 messages. Andrea didn't respond. And then by the time Andrea did respond, it was quite triggered. He's like, yo, you're being disrespectful. I'll deal with you after I've dealt with everybody first or whatever. Then this guy starts laughing. He's like, yo, me disrespecting you. And then at the point, then like 2 or 3 messages later, Andrea calls this guy an idiot, right? So that's already first yike for me. Then the conversation goes on. And then another thing he says is like, you're such a brat, right? Now, I will actually agree with him on a certain point that I think if we look at context outside of this Ace Gaming and these Fortnite players and just esports in a whole, waiting a day to get your payments is how long in esports terms, Prof?
It's usually about a month, if you're lucky. I mean, there are some TOs that'll pay out very, very quickly within a week. But like a day or two after, like, bro, what are you even talking about? Like, you live in a fantasy world if you think you're going to get paid out in a day.
Yeah, so to give some context on how, because obviously I think Fortnite people, a lot of them came from the Call of Duty side, but I think for the most part are a bit newer to the esports scene than the rest of us. I mean, I've been involved for three years and I've worked with all of the TOs basically, right? I can tell you there was maybe twice where I got paid when I was supposed to get paid, right? Every other time it's like, yeah, the payment will get there eventually. You don't bank on that money to eat, basically. You know, that's just the lay of the land with esports. Prof's been working in esports in SA for like a billion years, and he'll tell you the same thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, as I said, there's been maybe 3 or 4 events that I can remember paying out pretty quickly. I know one of them was VS Gaming. I know that they paid out pretty quickly back in the day. I don't know what, like, I haven't worked with them in a while, so I can't tell you what their payouts are like now, but I know that they're generally one of the faster payers in South Africa, and even that's like usually a month.
Yeah, it's a 30.
I mean, a tiny little tournament with like 5 or 10 teams, yeah, maybe, but that's like a once off. Ace Gaming, this tournament had what, 70 players?
Yes. Well, okay, this one, the 70 player was another tournament they were referring to, I think, sometime last year. I'm not sure how many exactly were in this tournament specifically that they're asking about payment for.
All right. Well, I mean, let's assume that it's, what, 20, I think, is reasonable?
Yeah.
So
maybe more.
Okay. Well, I mean, let's just say 20, just right. for simplicity's sake. It's probably more, but I'll keep it at 20. Like, even at 20, it's like it's going to take more than a day or two just to sort out everything. Just give the guy time for admin. I mean, like a week, yeah, 2 weeks. Okay, he's pushing it at 2 weeks. But like, I think after 2 weeks, you can start complaining. But like 2 days, like, dude, come on. Like, you're clearly just like, you don't understand how the system works. Like, let's say, I mean, you just have to like, just your admin is going to be like 2 days. So how the hell do you expect the man to be paying out then? He's got to work out all the schedules. He's got to work out who gets paid what. He's got to get hold of bank details and all the rest. Now, maybe this has been added earlier. I can't say otherwise. Maybe they have had to hand their bank details over to him beforehand. But it does seem very, very odd. And like I said, it's like there's clearly more to these conversations than a lot of these players are letting on, because it's not like a starting conversation. You know, it's not like the first conversation that you can see with this person. Like, there's clearly been something else happening beforehand. So if they are being unreasonable, you can understand a little bit of testiness from the TO's side. Does that mean he needs to react like this? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Like threatening or vaguely threatening or, you know, like being like mildly sexist is just like, it's not really the way to react. And yeah, look, kids are going to, overreact when things don't go their way. But it's just like, don't even give them that chance. Just explain to them that, like, give me till the end of the week or give me till the end of 2 weeks and you can get your cash. But like from the kid's side, you're never going to get paid on New Days. Like you need to learn that now so that you don't have like this like massive problem in a couple of years time when you're expecting payment in like a week. It's like that ain't going to happen. A month is standard in esports. 3 months is pretty good in international esports. If you're lucky, some places pay out in six. So
wow.
Like just relax. Like really, like 2 days, give the dude a bit of a break.
So when I looked at this conversation, right, because a day, like, to be frankly honest, to expect the payment in a day is ridiculous, right? That it's never going to happen. But what it looks like to me, because obviously myself and Prophecy are coming from this, from an outsider's perspective, it looks like there was already built up animosity, right?
Yeah.
And then listening to the forecast, speaking to people, seeing what stories there are behind Ace Gaming and the community interactions prior, there is a lot of other things going on. So maybe the players' behaviors, I also don't think is correct, but maybe they, like, it's animosity is built from all sides here. So another thing that was that came up during the podcast was that there was a tournament that was disputed, I think in, let me just check the screenshot here, because there was a screenshot that went up, I think last year in August already, I believe. There was a screenshot that went up breaking down the prize pool for this tournament and the announcement of this tournament, and it got brought up in the podcast by Alex, the guy from, I think it's EPS, I hope I'm getting it right. He was asking Andrea about how he got to this prize pool, because a lot of from the player side, they think that, you know, this guy is just in it for the money, sort of scamming. All he cares about is money. He doesn't give a shit about the community or whatever. So I was seeing that, and we often see players say this. You know, I used to play like Yu-Gi-Oh when I was a wee lad, and we used to say that about the guys hosting tournaments then. But you know, if I think about it now and a bit older, that guy was taking every Saturday to come out there, host the tournament, and it's like, you know, maybe we were in the wrong there. If it was taking $20 to buy a pack of Yu-Gi-Oh cards, who gives a shit actually?
Yeah.
But this is a bit more than $20. Here's how the prize breakdown went. So his initial announcement for the tournament was 35,000 Rand. It was a 250 Rand entrance fee, and it was based on how many players showed up. So the expected amount of players for the 35,000 Rand entrance fee was 140 players for 35,000 Rand at 250 Rand a player. So that was the original announced prize pool. He ended up having about 70 players, in his words, even more than 70 players. So that's half of 140. So that prize pool would be scaled down to 17,500 Rand. Okay.
Yeah.
But then they did the maths and everybody got paid out. And the amount of money that actually went out in that tournament was 11,150 Rand. So that's a bit less than 17,500 Rand, which should have been how it got scaled
down.
Yeah,
and that's,
right?
That's more than 30%. It's more than a third of the prize. Like, so that seems a bit steep.
For an online event as well, mind you.
I mean, look, I'm not going to complain. The guy needs to actually make some costs back, but like, a third of the prize pool for an online event. I mean, I don't know how. Do you have like any information on how the system was set up? Was it just like a one of those online tournament web pages where anybody can make a page, or does he have an actual web page that you have to log in and put in your details and all the rest?
That I cannot say because I have not entered the tournament, but I did find the conversation very interesting on the podcast. So they asked Andrea on the podcast about this, because when I looked at this, I was like, okay, that's a lot of money, right? 6,500 cut from the 17,000 is steep. But at the end of the day, like, people calling him out saying, you know what, this guy is just trying to scam kids. All he wants is money, this, that. Maybe it's quite a terrible philosophy, but at the same time, I actually wish more people in esports adopted that philosophy, because everything can't be charity work, right? But
no, it shouldn't be charity work at the beginning. Yeah, like, you know, if you're pooling with mates as like sort of like, let's put $50 in the pool, whoever wins gets all of it. That would be a different story. But this is like a tournament organizer. So
yes,
ostensibly it's a business. Businesses
right.
Almost never run for, or the businesses that don't run for profit are invariably charities. And these are not going to be charities by any stretch of the imagination.
Yes. So my initial issue before I even heard what everybody said about all of this stuff was that The biggest issue I see with all of this is that none of this was discussed prior to the event. It was not disclosed how the prize pool gets split. What's the organizer's fee? Who's getting first place? Who's getting... So nothing's disclosed. So for all we know, he could have paid out all 17,500 rand to be like, you know what, I love you guys, take all the money. Or he could have been like, listen, yeah, I didn't agree to any of this. But obviously he did because he made social media posts, but I'm taking all 17,500. If you're accepting these kind of conditions as players going in where you don't know what where you're getting your money or how you're getting your money, it's ridiculous. From a TO's side, I can't believe he hosts tournaments like this. And from a player side, why are you guys fucking playing in tournaments like this, right?
Yeah, that's the first thing. It's like, it goes both ways. It's like, players, you need to be careful, because if he's not giving you any like hard and fast rules as to what's going on, then like whenever there's going to be a problem, he can change those rules in a heartbeat and there's nothing you can do about it. Tournament organizer, if you don't put those rules in there, the same thing can happen to you. If players jerk you around, it's very difficult to say, oh, but this was the rules. They can just say, oh, but you never posted the rules, or you never posted what was happening. So both sides need to protect themselves by making certain that this stuff is in order.
100%. And now, to add on to this amateur hour bullshit, which I'm just going to call it out for what it is, I also reached out, and I'm stand to be corrected here, because maybe the information I got is wrong, maybe I'm misinformed, but I went through this registration thing. I didn't see any terms of conditions to play in these tournaments, right? There was no, do you accept these terms or whatever to play? And speaking to players, there's no contracts they signed or anything. So right now, you guys essentially are doing a gambling pot that it's all just like all in good faith, right? That's what's happening. Am I correct in saying that, Prof? No other TO in South Africa
TO is trading on its own good name at this point, because they've got nothing to back themselves up that they will definitely pay out without like rules and all the rest.
Yeah, because
it opens the door for these kids to get like aggressive and in your face when it's 2 days late and you haven't paid out.
Exactly. So on both sides, if you're the TO, right? Let's say Andrea wanted to protect himself from an instance like this, and I give you why you need contracts in place for these kind of tournaments. That I don't even know if pay to play and making prize pools like that is even legal. It sounds like gambling.
That's a different story.
Yeah. So if there is lawyers who want to add in on this, I would love to hear. I'm sure many other people would love to hear, because it sounds a bit iffy to me. But back to the point is that, okay, so if there's a contract in place, right? And this brings up another part of the discussion. Okay, so now players are going and bad-mouthing the TO publicly, right? Obviously, they're bad-mouthing the main guy, Andrea, who runs it, but it's basically him who runs Ace Gaming. So it is bad-mouthing the TO. Now, if you have a tournament in place, Andrea, where you can say, okay, these guys have bad-mouthed my tournament, it's in the contract here. If you say X, Y, and Z about Ace Gaming, what's in these days, prize pool can be retracted or whatever. That could be a reality. But now, how it's sitting is that you in multiple WhatsApp chats are saying, listen here, mate, I don't like the tone you're speaking into me. I'm not going to give you some prize money. I'm going to give it to somebody else. Listen, prize pool is not a fucking suggestion. If you say you're paying first place 5,000 rand, you best be fucking paying them 5,000 rand, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to. That's just like, that's just how this whole situation works. Whatever you put in the rules beforehand is going to lock you into a decision. So if you don't put any rules, anybody can make any assumption they want, and it's very difficult to argue against them, and this kind of thing can happen.
Yeah. So this is clearly, obviously, from the outside, we're trying to build the picture of where all the animosity gets created, because obviously those not involved in the Ace, in the Fortnite scene might be a bit harder for them to see this, but I think this is neutral for now, right? On this podcast, I mean. So now, when this conversation was happening on the podcast, the questions was raised to Andrea. Where did the money go to? What was the purpose of him taking this cut? How did he scale it to this cut? And his response was, no, those numbers aren't correct, right? He says he's not 100% sure on numbers offhand, because again, it was hosted last year in August. That's more than a couple of months away. And he said, all right, I'm going to go and check my archives and I'll post it up tonight. I mean, it's been 2 weeks later. We still haven't seen archives. So when I'm seeing all of this behavior, now I don't want to just go and pander to players, and I don't want to just say, and I don't want to just shrek MGO. I want to keep it neutral on both sides. But when it's your whole company getting lambasted by 100 people on Twitter, and then you go on a podcast and your defense is, okay, I'm going to check my archives, and you don't post your archives, it's either one, because there is shady business going on behind, or two, you really don't give a fuck about this. I don't know which are two of the possibilities, but if you're making 6,500 rand from a tournament, maybe you should care about it.
The problem is, it's just like there's a whole string of screw-ups here. No rules. I would say an excessive take of the pot. Like, more than 33% is a bit hectic. Like, if you put that in the rules beforehand, there's nothing they can do about it. But, like, since then, it's quite different, right? Now, paying out players depending on how many players pitch up, you need to be announcing that kind of thing before the event starts so that the prize pool is going to be, you know, very, very different.
And again, his excuse on the podcast was that, oh, I don't know how many players are signing up, so I don't want to say one thing and then change it later. Mate, if you're doing prize pool like this, right, you scale it. It's percentage-based.
Yeah.
You can say tournament organizer is getting 15% of the cut regardless of the pool. First place is getting this amount. Second place is getting this amount. And then you never have these problems. But then when you don't announce this, and then when you're taking 6,500 rand, then this is why people are like, is this a scam? Should we be worried, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, if you don't even have to take a scaling a percentage. If you say, I'm taking 6,000, whether, you know, 70 people enter or 140 people enter, it's like people will be fine with that because they know beforehand this is how much you're taking and it's not going to change. But if you say a percentage, you say a percentage. You don't leave it up to people to decide what's supposed to happen, because what's happened here is that you claimed the original prize pool was 28,000. People worked out that if 140 teams entered, then it was going to be 35,000, which meant that there was a 7,000 rand cost to you. Perfectly fine, right?
Right.
If half that number of players rocks up and you're still taking almost 7,000, people will question, because it's like, how exactly are you working this out? If you leave it to the mob to decide, they will always decide in their own favor. I'm not saying either one is correct here, but like, remember,
that was a great
if you're
quote.
Opening the door... If you're opening the door to the mob, they're going to choose what's best for them. And players, get some clarity before you enter these damn tournaments, because this is the kind of stuff that can happen. The problem is, here we're dealing with a lot of half-truths and whole lies. But we don't know how much conversation there was about the exact payouts, how much conversation there was about when the payments were happening. So it leaves like a very bad taste in the mouth from everybody's side. And yes, we are dealing with youngsters here in terms of Fortnite, but like...
But that's even more so for me. That's more so you need to have these things in a ruckus, because if you, like, quote, I'm not saying somebody's scamming or anything, but quote unquote, if you are doing sort of malpractice, you're doing this to fucking minors, you know?
Yeah. It's just, like, I don't know how you react to minors or how you think that's a great idea to react to minors, because like, they're going to get uppity. That we were all 15, we were all a jackass. Let's be real about this. If someone got in your face, you were going to say something. And the fact that you can now say it online and get massive feedback from it is like not a great situation if you're in the wrong, because it's definitely going to bounce back at you. If you give people a date by when you're going to pay, it makes everybody's life a lot simpler.
So for me, obviously... I get what I think. Me and you have completely different issues about the whole minor thing, but we can hash that more later on in the podcast. So there was other things that came up, right? So in terms of his cost, he kept on mentioning about or Ace Gaming's cost rather, that there's advertising costs, and obviously I kind of agree. You know, you need to advertise here, advertise there, boost your Facebook post or whatever the fuck you do to advertise. And then he says, no, you have to remember, if there's more people playing in my tournament, there's more cost in advertising. And that's when I was like, hold up. Advertising is a fixed cost. If 100 people show up to your event or 2 people show up to your event, your cost to advertise that event is 100% the same. So when you get caught up saying things like this, it really, really gives you such a shady, shady look, you know?
Well, I mean, the correct term would be sunk cost. Because, you're not going to gain any, like, you can't get the money back. Once it's paid, it's gone. Yeah, so if you get nothing back from it, it's the way he's using advertising there, like, I fully agree with you. Like, your advertising is not going to go up if there's more players entering your event. Like, it might encourage you to spend more, but it's not definitely going to go up, because your event takes place on X date. If, let's say, you've done 10 adverts and you've gotten 70 people entering, it might encourage you to spend more, but that doesn't mean that your advertising is going up. Your admin costs will definitely go up. That will go up, but not your advertising, bud. You're confusing two different things, and no, it's not the same thing.
I get you. So another layer to the story, why it came up again, because obviously this happened like 2 weeks ago. You know, in these millennial brains, it's like, oh, 2 weeks is like 5 years ago, basically. Who cares? I saw this thing go up on Facebook. Somebody, let's call him by his name, Michael, at CODZA_Avenger, tweets, they still thank Ace Gaming's Andrea for helping with their tournaments after he treats the hashtag FortniteZA community like shit. Unbelievable. Now, he was tweeting this in response to Bravado Gaming, who just hosted their FIFA tournament this past weekend. And in that Bravado Gaming tweet, they're thanking Andrea for being there and helping. I assume he was working as an admin there. And Bravado's response was, Michael, regardless of the past and regardless of any mistakes being made and regardless of his public apology, someone still needs to be thanked for being on their feet for 12 hours straight, administering and coordinating a tournament. So I read this and I was like, okay, so let's look at these things here. So past mistakes, right? So I don't know if I could say these things are mistake or by design, because the disclosing of tournaments is something that's been happening for a large amount of time. It still has not changed till today. But again, that doesn't really have to do too much with Andrea himself, because he's not hosting this tournament. He's just admining it. And then regardless of his public apology, this is where I got caught, right? Because I listened to that whole fucking podcast. And Andrea apologizes multiple times in the podcast, never to the actual people that he told off, but on the podcast publicly to, I don't know, maybe garner some respect within the community once again. But every single time, and I shit you not, anybody can go listen to the podcast with him on there. He apologizes. He's like, yeah, you know, I shouldn't have said what I said. You know, I was in a bad mood. You know, it was a rough day and things. And, you know, we all have those days, right? I get it. And then he proceeds to follow up. But, you know, Dalray, some of these kids, they just rub me the wrong fucking way, you know? And it's like, oh, my God. Like, he didn't do this.
Don't walk it back.
There's no, prof, I'm sorry, you're a piece of shit. But you're a piece of shit. It's like, what is, that's not an apology. And then
I love you, but you're a piece of shit. It's like, okay.
So I don't consider him apologizing at all, because he never apologized to whom he spoke to. And obviously, I think there's past beef there. He doesn't really give a shit about the personal things. Yeah, he just wanted to save his company's face. But it's still, if you apologize and it's butt and your apologies are so bad, apologies are that bad, don't put this guy publicly.
Yeah, I mean, like, even if you don't mean it, just like at least just put out the PR. You know, the good PR, and just like, oh, look, I fully apologize, et cetera, et cetera. Like, that's what everybody does. When it comes down to it, that's just what you got to do. But you might not mean it. You might hate to do it, but you got to do it. You got to just suck it up and apologize eventually. So don't walk it back in any way, shape, or form. To go back to the heart of this thing with Bravado, I mean, I don't know why somebody's getting mad triggered at Bravado, that they need an admin. They used a guy that maybe has a shady personality, or has shady business in his past, but it's like, he's not the person responsible for the event. He's not the person like running the event. He's not the person backing the event. It's literally Bravado hiring a guy, and they are fully within their rights to thank him for a job they consider well done.
I mean, I get where you're coming from, and you're 100% right in what you're saying. But for me, it also feels off. I kind of agree with Michael in a way that, you hiring somebody who didn't threaten children, he didn't threaten children, but who is known to being absolutely rude to minors, who has, I'm not going to say, it's not a scamster, but he has a shady background at the very least, and he just doesn't seem like a community guy. Maybe he did a great job, but I don't know, because if I look at this whole situation, right, how do you deal with these kind of things when they happen, with this, like, this Ace Gaming thing? Because in esports, globally, nobody's taking anybody to court. Nobody's going to see you at LAN and actually fight, because nobody fucking does that here. And so the way you deal with it is the community has to kind of take a stand. Like, kids have to, like, oh, sorry, players have to stop playing in these tournaments. Like, you can't support. But I guess maybe I make my own point here, because they're not supporting Ace Gaming. This is a Bravado event. This guy did a good job as admin. So maybe that's it as well.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like, fighting Bravado over this is like irrelevant. Like, I mean, yeah, you can say Bravado maybe Rivato made a bad choice in using this guy with the reputation that he does have. But to, like, have a go at Rivato for it is just, like, I mean, they need an admin.
Yeah.
The guy has literally no control. If he's a, if he's an arsehole at the event to somebody, by all means, go to town. But we have no records of him being an arsehole at this event, so what can you do about it?
I think
you got, you judge the guy on what he's done at the event. Like, Bravado felt he was good at what he did, great. If the players come out and say, oh, he was an arsehole, yeah, that's an entirely different kettle of fish.
Right.
As an admin, it's fine. In the context of him running his own event and how he acted, yeah, definitely acted like a jackass. But again, I don't know how much he was triggered to get to that point.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that was a balanced take. I think we kind of went through all the major things from the podcast, at least from the Fortcast Today podcast. If you guys want to check that out, head over to Dallas's YouTube channel and have a gander there. But yeah, that is it for our episode today. Last thing I want to leave with, though, is just a simple, you know, question. What does focus on being better, bitchless, you have a penis between your legs mean? That's all. One thing you can answer, Andrea, that's it. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Esports Central Podcast. Find us on Twitter at KChickDay, at Prophecy with the CI instead of the normal spelling, at the publication Esports Central ZA on Facebook, at Esports CNTRL on Twitter, and of course on the World Wide Web at esportscentral.co.za. Thank you all for listening and goodbye.